We all need encouragement at some point in time, whether it's for personal motivation, comfort, or reflection. An encouraging word can offer hope, inspiration, or a new perspective. Each week, we will explore biblical passages that will encourage and remind us of God's love, faithfulness, greatness, and sovereignty in our lives. So, let's start the week off right. I'm your podcast host, Drea, and you're now listening to Divine Exhortations. Hey, friend, and happy Monday, September 27th. I hope everyone is doing well and had a great week. And as always, thank you for tuning into Divine Exhortations with Drea. And I guess I'll say, and friends too. This entire season is dedicated to my friends sharing a word with you each week. And I am so grateful to have my friend and brother share a word with you today. Princeton Grant, how are you doing, friend?
I'm doing well, Andrea. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. God is good all the time.
Amen.
Amen. So once again, just thank you for agreeing to come on today, Princeton, and share an encouraging word with someone today. But before we get into your exhortation, could you just briefly share your experience on coming to know the Lord?
For sure. So for me, I spent literally my entire life up to this point in church, and I believe it'll stay that way. So I was born in Innis Avenue at a Bible Way Church of Jesus Christ, and I was just used to just church activity. It was just, you know, as you know, growing up in church was all the time. Yeah. But I would say I could distinctly remember at around age 8, for some reason, although the tic-tac-toe games are going on in the benches and the rock, paper, scissors, for some reason, there was just a clicking. Mm-hmm. I was starting to really be compelled by what I was hearing and what I was seeing during services. And it was starting, the pieces were starting to come together. And I think there was also just a heavy influence of, you know, all of my role models, all of the examples in my life being Christ followers, that kind of made me say, I want to be like them and I want to be like Christ ultimately. Yeah. And so it was at the age of 8 that I, you know, decided to get baptized, and I got my handy dandy Bible dictionary after that. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history.
That is phenomenal. Wow. Age 8. Now that's incredible. We thank God for godly influence, right? And that's amazing. So thank you for sharing that. So now we are going to jump into your exhortation for today.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm really excited about this talk and to be able to share this, and just wanting to be a blessing and to encourage. And so today we're going to be talking about bad days. Mm. Bad days. Yes, bad days. You heard it. You heard it right.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about bad days. And so I was listening keenly, you know, when you were responding to my question of how are you, because I was genuinely interested, because we all know it's so easy to just have like the built-in factory response when someone asks how you're doing.
Exactly.
I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we tell other people that so often that sometimes you don't even give ourselves the opportunity to really, truly reflect and take stock of where we're at and how we're managing our bad days. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you could remember the last bad day you had, but
yeah,
I know I can.
A couple days ago.
Okay, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Would you feel comfortable sharing what some of that day entailed?
Just some issues just around personal relationship. That's been a challenge for me. And I was just having a bad day. Just things were just not panning out as I would have expected. So that became a challenge. And it did dampen my spirits a little bit. So that was a challenge. And it made my day not a good day.
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. So bad days, they happen. I'll be honest with you, Andrea. As much as I'm doing well, if I'm honest, I would say the day started out pretty good, going through my work day. And then there was just some unexpected stuff, like just some news, just some stuff went down, came down the pipe at work, thought a certain decision was going to go a certain way. And it went like the complete opposite, like left.
Oh, like boy.
My heart sunk. And I'm still kind of in the process of really just taking that all in.
Mm-hmm.
But I share that, and I asked you to share that just for the simple fact that if we're honest, like, we all have bad days, but we may not all know what to do with them, how to approach them, and how to move forward through them. And so today we're going to be looking at a person in the Bible, the story in the Bible that is centered around someone's bad day. We're going to be looking at the book of Job. And, you know, I'm sure we all know the story of Job and his famous line. Let me see. I'm going to start it, Andrew. Let's see if you can finish it. The famous line from Job: "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." The Lord.
Oh my goodness. I'm drawing a blank.
You're drawing a blank. Oh no.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness.
The Lord.
Oh my goodness. Give me another word.
The Lord gave.
The Lord giveth, comma. The Lord giveth. The Lord giveth, or the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that one?
Aha.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
That one. You didn't know the Bible trivia was coming.
No, I didn't. I wasn't ready.
But so that verse was Job's response to the first wave of his bad day,
mm-hmm.
which was, honestly, when we look at it, is such an amazing response. Like, he's just like, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away.
Yeah.
And then what's crazy is, like, this is like, he's literally like, this is worship here. He's literally praising God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Whoa. Mm. So that's not my response when I'm going through my bad day. Like, when I'm going through my tough thing, when I'm meeting that moment where my heart's sinking or my head is pounding or like the text comes in, or, you know, you read that line across the news, that's, I don't know if I'm going into praise and worship. I don't know if that's my response.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first of two responses from Job, because the bad times kept coming. So if you haven't read the book of Job, and I mean like actually read it, it's something I'm doing right now, and I'm enjoying the experience. So yes, we've heard the story, and yes, we've heard it said, and we've heard the messages, but I would actually encourage our listeners to actually read the book. So there was two waves, and what we just was looking at was Job 121, which is the first response to the first wave, where Job loses his children. Job loses his assets. Job is a wealthy man, and Job loses his assets. He loses his children, his family. It's a bad day, right? And so as we're going through this discussion, like, I don't want you to just sit on like surface bad day, like I buck my toe on the bedside. No, I mean like bad day. Job had a bad day. And this was his response: "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So that's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then as we move forward into chapter 2, where now the afflictions before were all external, right? It was his assets. It was his family losing his children, right? His offspring. But now the affliction turns and it's now internal, where it's physically on his body. He has sores, he has boils, he's deteriorating, and his health is in decline out of nowhere. And we're reading here, I'm going to be reading from the Message translation, written by Eugene Peterson.
Okay.
One that I love dearly, and it's Job chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. And so we're going to pick up the story there. We kind of, you know, laid a bit of a foundation. We're going to pick up the story here. So it says, Satan left God and struck Job with terrible sores. Job was ulcers and scabs from head to foot. They itched and oozed so badly that he took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself. Then went and sat on a trash heap among the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9, his wife said, his wife who earlier, before his first response to the tragedy that he was facing, the trauma that he was experiencing, his wife's advice was to curse God and die. And Job was like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't do that here.
Hold on a minute.
We don't do that here. And so after the second wave of afflictions, his wife says, are you still holding on to your precious integrity?
Yes. Yep.
Curse God and be done with it. And here we have verse 10, Job's response, which is similar to the first one, but I wanted to highlight this one and look at it. And this is going to be our focus scripture for today. He told her, you're talking like an empty-headed fool.
Wow.
We take the good days from God. Why not also the bad days?
Mm.
So we just highlighting that second clause. He says, we take the good days from God. Why not also the bad days?
Right.
And as I consider Job's responses to the waves of affliction, as I consider Job's responses through his trauma, as I consider Job's response to his tragedy, I'm like, ooh, I think there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
What does Job know that I don't know? Because I know that's not my gut response.
Right.
And you may be thinking about a bad day that you have. You may be thinking about, you know, frustrations and situations that you're currently sitting in and be like, yeah, like that's not what's on my heart. That's right. Not what's on my mind. That's not where I'm at. So what makes Job different? What makes Job different? And I love this phrase. He says, we take the good days from God, why not also the bad days?
Mm.
And what I realized, you know, when I even was reflecting on myself, you know, because the scripture causes you to look inward. And as I'm reflecting on myself and in some of my own stories and some of my own seasons and some of my own challenges, I had to admit that the reason I don't, as Job says, you know, take the bad days from God, is I had to come to the realization that I don't think I was taking the good days from God either.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because,
yeah.
Andrea, I think you'll connect with this here, and our listeners, I'm sure you will too. Like, we live in a cultural moment. We live in a society where it's head down, it's on my grind, it's on my hustle. It's what I'm doing, and our heads are just down in our work.
Right.
It's like, yeah, head down, got to get it. Head down, go get it. Head down, I'm eating. I'm doing it. I'm. And we live in a culture, in a society, and we've bought into the idea that my good days are on me.
Mm.
My good days are on the work that I put in. My good days are on my hustle.
Right.
My good days come through my grind. And so as I'm reading this passage, I'm like, okay, so Job was able to say, I can take the bad days from God because I take the good days from God. But what he's really saying in that message is, I trust God.
Ultimately, yeah.
Good or bad.
Right.
Come what may, my trust is in God. And in the culture that we're living in, the messaging really is for your faith and hope and your trust to be in your own works.
Right.
To be in your own efforts. Or maybe it's, I'm trusting in what someone can do for me. I'm trusting in, you know, this relationship dynamic and how that makes me feel. I'm trusting in, you know, being able to climb the ranks at my job. I'm trusting in my friends to hold me down. I'm trusting in my discipline and my grind getting me there. And don't get me wrong, I'm big on this whole thing where the onus goes both ways, right? Where yes, we have a hand in what our life looks like. And yes, we have a job to do with building our life. And you can read Proverbs to get wisdom on that. But as well as understanding that we can't take everything out of God's hands.
Right.
When it comes to the good. When it comes to the good, there has to be a faith, a hope, and a trust that's rooted in God. And I'm actually going to give a definition of hope. So for our note takers out there, this would be a good time for you to get out your pen and paper or your notepad on your device. So the definition goes like this. This is a working definition from a pastor and author that I love, John Mark Comer, who says, hope is the absolute expectation of coming good based on the person and promises of God.
Ooh, love it. Love it.
I'm going to read it one more time so that we make sure we get it.
Mm-hmm.
But just let that wash over you as I say it. Hope is the absolute expectation of coming good based on the person and promises of God.
Mm.
And when I read that definition of hope and I line it up with Job's responses, I can see a match.
Right.
I can see a match. I can see an attitude from Job that says, come what may, God's got this.
Right.
Come what may, God's got me. Right? The first response was, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job has so much trust in God. Job has so much faith in God. So when the bad days come, as much as he's crushed and he's hurt and he's sorrowful and there is a grieving period and there is weeping and there is time to process the reality and the magnitude of the situation, there's a hope, there's a faith and a trust that is undeniable in his response. And so when it comes to the issue of how to deal with bad days, what do we do with bad days?
Mm-hmm.
The answer comes in our everyday. What's the posture of our heart every day? And what are the practices, the spiritual practices that we are using to build up our inner man, that we are using to, you know, transform ourselves, you know, moving closer to the mark of the person and the image of Christ, that is going to help us have a hopeful and faithful response, one that's hope and faith and trust that is not in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we see with Job, and I think that's what's so helpful. I have three things that we can do. You can start it today, you can start it tomorrow, but three things I would encourage us to do every day, so that we can have a response like Job when the bad days come. The first one is engaging with scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at the definition from John Mark Comer, hope is the absolute expectation of coming good based on the person and promises of God. Where do we find out about the person and the promises of God? It's in
his word. That's right, amen.
So we've got to be in God's word. We have to be in God's word because that's where our hope is found. It's found.
Right.
It's found. It's found in our confidence in God and his promises, that confidence gets reinforced and built up as we engage with the scriptures. So that's one, is engaging with the scriptures to remind us of who God is and remind us of what his promises are for us. And also they give us wisdom on how to handle the different things that will come on this journey of life. The next one is engaging in prayer.
Amen. Yeah.
Daily laying our lives at the feet of the Father, engaging in prayer. One thing, if you were to read the book of Job, you see that Job wrestled with God. Job engaged with God. Job didn't shut up and just close God out, but he was like, God, are you seeing this? God, where are you? God, what's happening? He didn't understand, but his lack of understanding didn't dissuade him from continuing to engage and continuing to connect and talk with the Father. And so engaging in prayer, that communication and that wrestling. And I remember saying this a couple of weeks ago to my church, that God can handle your frustration.
Yes.
God can handle your doubts. Mm. God can handle your questions. God can handle your fears. God can handle your anxieties. God can handle your trauma.
Right.
What God can't do is help you when you don't engage with him.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And so sometimes it's like, well, I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm frustrated, I have all these things going on, I'm sad, I'm sorrowful, I'm disappointed, I'm lost, I'm in anguish, I'm just, my heart is broken. Bring that to God.
Yes.
Bring it to him. Bring it to him. Mm. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because you know what? Growing up in church, and I say growing up because I mean I came at the age of 16, but I remember it was always said to us that we should never question God. So think about it now, when we're going through our tough times and our challenging times, and we have the thoughts like, why this, why that? We were taught, don't question God. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, now, like, and as I've matured and start reading through scripture, especially the Psalms, you see how these men were like, God, what is going on? Have you left me? What are you doing? And they've asked God, and like you said before, they had dialogue with God. And yes, there were questions and there was uncertainty, but they brought it before the Lord, right?
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times that has been embedded in us, where we're not allowed to talk to God in that sense, where we're questioning him or questioning his authority or his move. And I don't think that's the actual case. It's more like, God, what is going on? Why am I feeling this way? Why is this happening? Is there something for me to learn or to see from this situation?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that. Exactly that. So the book of Job, like, completely squashes that myth, because so how the book is worked up, it's broken into three parts. The first, you know, in chapters 1 and 2, looking at the prologue, kind of setting the stage, and then there's a series of deep and really intense poetry, and the majority of it being Job saying, God, what's good?
Yeah.
God, what's going on? really, Job gets into some stuff. He says some things. But funny enough, as much as he said and as much as he shared his frustrations, and you could tell it's angry poetry.
Yeah.
It's anger. And it's directed towards a situation and questioning God. Job didn't err in his ways. He's just sorting through. This is how he's feeling. This is where he's at. And the thing is, God will meet you where you're at.
Amen.
If you give him the opportunity, God will meet you where you're at. So don't be afraid to engage in the dialogue. Don't be afraid to say the hard things. Don't be afraid to open your heart before the Father. He is here to hear. He is willing to wrestle with you. He can handle your frustrations. He can handle your pain. He can handle your honesty. Be honest with God. There's one preacher that says, if you want real help from God, you have to get real with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see here from Job. The last lesson that I'm taking away from this scripture is that we need to engage in community. A lot of times when bad things happen, there's the habit just to isolate. So where we're not really talking to God or man.
Oh boy, I'm guilty.
We're just, Andrea, I'll be honest with you. You can ask my wife. I'm that type. When I'm upset, I close up. I close in and I shut down. And this is something that I've been actively working at. Whether it's with my wife, with my spouse, or with others, having my community, having the people that I can be honest and vulnerable and naked with, and also that piece we just talked about, which is just letting God know where you're at. Your community is very important. And, you see, I kind of skipped over this in the book of Job because, like, Job's community was a little interesting. All right. Because his boys came down. They're like, yeah, we heard what happened. And they came down and they're just like, well, bruh, like, God knows what he's doing. So clearly you messed up. You messed up.
You did something wrong.
You did something because it's not God. Like, God is God. Chill, Job, chill. And literally they're just like going at it back and forth. And it's interesting, because it's like, okay, this is not exactly the community that I would want to highlight. But even in it, like, Job has a space to just open up and be raw. That's so important. How do we handle our bad days? We gotta load up and be aware, presently aware of the person and promises of God taught to us and brought to us through the scriptures. We've got to engage in prayer. We've also got to engage in community. The scripture that I would want to reference for community is Hebrews chapter 10, looking at verse 24. So we're gonna skip through Job's community because Job's community was a bit tough and rough, but he was still in an environment where he could share. And so please, like, don't hold things in. Find those trusted few that you can open up to. But looking at Hebrews 10 and 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Christianity has to be expressed through community.
Right.
It's not a solo game. We're not here by ourselves, just me and Jesus, kumbaya. The two of us got a good thing going on. Right. Jesus had his 12. Jesus had his boys. Like, you gotta have a community that you're engaged in, that you can be open with, a community that's going to push you to love and to good works, a community that will rally around you, godly community of friends, a godly community that you can count on to pray with you, that you can count on to wrestle with you, that you can count on for your support. And these are the encouragements that I would want to share from the scripture. And to put a bow on it before we get out of here, what do you do with your bad days? You know, earlier we talked about just our propensity to just have our head down on our grind, on our work. Everything's got to go through me. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And our head's down. And so what happens is, thank you, Lord. What happens is when our head's down and the bad days come and the problems mount up, we're just down. Like our heads are just down. Like if you can picture it, maybe you've done it. You were walking, but your head was down. You couldn't hold your head up. Your head was just down, focused on the problem, down, focused on the tragedy, down, focused on the pain, focused on the anguish. And my encouragement to you is to keep your head up. Keep your head up. First being keeping your head up, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our
Finisher of our
faith.
faith,
Keep your head up, saying it's not just me and what I'm doing, but God's got something going on, and I may not understand it, I may not comprehend it, but I have to trust him. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. That's what you do with the bad days. You don't get sucked in. You don't get lost in the sauce. Because, Andrea, you may be able to identify with this. I know I have. We don't have time today, but I could tell you a story of I had a bad day that literally followed me for 6 weeks on end. It threw me off my game. It threw me off my routine. It messed with my headspace. It was just something else. And that was because my head was just down. My hope and faith and trust wasn't up in God. It was down in what I was trying to do and what I was trying to work out. And when things weren't working the way that I was, putting my efforts towards, it hurt me and it shot me down and my head was down. And so the thing is, a bad day can turn into a bad week, can turn into a bad month, can turn into a bad quarter, can turn into a bad year, can turn into a bad decade, can turn into a bad life. We've got to pick our heads up. See the Father. Know that God is with us. Engage with Him through the scriptures. Engage with Him in prayer and rally around our community to keep us going and to not get stuck in our bad days.
I'm just taking a minute just to soak all that in, and I think I still need more time. That is amazing. Princeton, thank you so much for sharing. There is so much wealth in what you said today, and just thank you for the reminder that, when we have our bad days, that there are things that we can do to counter those bad days. We can talk to God and have dialogue with Him in prayer. We can go back to His word, right? And then also to have a community of people that can support you through your bad times. So thank you so much for that reminder. Thank you for inspiring us and challenging us today to believe what God's word says about us. Could you do us the honor and just close this segment out in prayer?
Absolutely, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your grace over us, God. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom in your word. And we thank you for your heart, God, a heart that desires to help us along, a heart, God, that desires to be with us through thick and thin. God, may we know your heart and may we embrace, God, your heart. May we embrace the invitation to open up our lives and to let you in. May we embrace the invitation, Lord God, Jesus, as you said, to take up your yoke, to be in lockstep with you. May we embrace the invitation to not go it alone, but to be supported, God, by your spirit, by your word, by dialogue with you, and by a loving, godly community around us. I pray for all of those that are currently under the effects of a bad day, God, that they will be able to put your word to the test. They would be able to, Lord God, put your love to the test. That they would be able to take the risk and open up their hearts to you, Lord. May they be able to take the risk and open up their hearts to your word and to scripture. And that they would take this encouragement today and lift up their head. That they would take their focus off of the pain and off of the hurt. That they would take their focus off of what seems so consuming in a moment and realize that my God is bigger and my God is trustworthy. I pray that we would truly know that we can have faith, hope, and trust in you, and that we may be able to say, like the songwriter wrote, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I pray for everyone listening today that it would be well with their soul. And I pray, Lord, that they'd be able to pick up the tools from your word. They'd be able to pick up the tools from this moment. And if they're not well, if they're listening and they're not well, if you're in a bad place today, I pray that you would leave this moment on your way to better. Leave this moment on your way to well. Heavenly Father, continue to lead us and guide us like only you can. Help us to continue to trust you every day. For we know that that is our best opportunity to live and to live well. You said that you came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And I pray today that we would be able to realize life more abundantly through the power of your name, through the power of your word, through the power of your spirit. Bless us and be with us continually. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you once again, Princeton, for coming on and sharing such an encouraging word for our listeners today. With that being said, everyone have a wonderful week. Much love and many blessings. Bye. Hey, friend. Thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. I really feel so special. Let's do this again. See you next Monday.